Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studio of Waves of Glory. We are having an excellent time in the Lord this morning. The kingdom of God is advancing. Amen. And we are the ones through whom he is doing that. Our program today, this episode, is The Day of the Woman, Part 3. And it is going to be an exciting moment. I hope that you will call up somebody and tell them to get online, because we women need to hear the word that God has put in our spirit today. Our question for all of you is, what is it about women that makes it so hard to walk according to purpose and potential as ordained by God? Now, we are doing this series this week, going into our fasting days and praying for the upcoming Women's Leadership Empowerment Summit that's going to be held on the 26th and the 27th of this month right here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. There will be at minimum a 100 horde of women converging on this city, working together for community impact. So we are excited about that. And we pray that God will include you in the number. Don't get left behind. It's going to be comparable to getting ready for the rapture. So you don't want to be left out. So get to Fayetteville this month on the 26th and the 27th of February. So back to our question, what is it about women that makes it so hard to walk according to purpose and potential as ordained by God? And the answer is found for us in the Word of God. It is absolutely written plain for us to see. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We remember the situation that occurred in the garden, how Eve was deceived by the serpent, so much so that she disobeyed the word of the Lord and caused a great influx of sin to enter into the world, but not until Adam joined her in the sin. But listen, this is what I want to emphasize today, is that God spoke a word of prophetic word to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed, and her seed is going to bruise your head, your seed will bruise his heel. Listen, I researched that word enmity, and that word means hatred and hostility. Not just hostility, but personal hostility. And so I say to you, daughters of Eve today, saying to you today that we have a personal score to settle with the seed of the serpent. Glory be to God. And this is the day that God has ordained that we would take up arms, we would link up our shield, we would strap on our combat boots, and we would walk forcefully through the kingdom of darkness. And we are snatching men and women out of the fire gates of hell, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against this troop of women. Amen. Because we have a personal score to settle with the seed of the serpent. Hallelujah. And Jesus, glory be to God, Jesus set the deck in our favor when the word of God tells us that he conquered our enemy. He triumphed over him publicly, making a public spectacle of him, making sure that he understood that he is already defeated. So all we have to do as the seed of the woman is to stand up and to walk in it. We have to raise up the standard. Hallelujah. We raise our standard of leadership. We raise our standard of unity. We raise our standard of movement. We raise our standard of conquering whatever evils are roaming the streets of our city. It has already been conquered. It's just that we haven't stepped into place yet. But praise be unto God, that season is over. This is the day of the woman, and we are about to rise, shine, and give God the glory. Another thing that we can see is why it's so hard for women to walk in purpose and according to the potential that God himself put on the inside of her. Jesus described it as in his day as that men were teaching the traditions and commandments of men and replacing the will of God and the word of God with that. And so they taught tradition and commandments of men as doctrine, indoctrinating the people for generations to do what they wanted them to do because they were in the position of authority and they represented God, a position of authority, and they represented God before the people. So they mishandled that particular authority and began to institute their own traditions and their own commandments. That is the type of situation that that Paul, the apostle, was walking in when God called him to ministry. Now, there is a faction of people, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, church-going people who will tell you and me, daughter of the kingdom, that we are not authorized to preach the gospel. And they say to you, prove it in the scriptures that you have a right to preach the gospel. That sounds like a doctrine of devils to me. That sounds like tradition of man to me. That sounds like a commandment of man to me. And so my thought today is, you prove to me that I cannot preach the gospel. So what they will first do is run to the scripture that says, suffer not a woman to teach because of what Eve did. Understand that at this time, Paul was just going forth in ministry and that he was still indoctrinated with that mentality of traditions of men. Many times you will see him referring to that, those same traditions, even though he was trying to break free of those traditions. And so then we see, you know why we can tell this? Because later on in his ministry, he calls women true yoke fellow. He says to his Philippian leadership, he says, I want you to work well with these two women. I want you to work with them because they are true yoke fellow in the gospel. They have helped me in the gospel. They have worked with me in the gospel. Now the mind that is filled with tradition of man will say, oh, they must have been in the kitchen making food for Paul so that he would have something to eat when he got done preaching. But Paul calls them yoke fellows. That means colleagues. Ekoshata. Amen. That means they were working right alongside of him. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Go into your Bible. Study that word. Look it up in the Greek. Dig deeper than surface theology. Don't just believe what somebody told you that was passed on from generation to generation. Those are traditions and commandments of men that have been taught for doctrine for hundreds of years. Then we look at Acts chapter 16, verse 9. Here we have the Apostle Paul. He has a vision in the night of a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, mind you, he is being led by the Spirit. In one area, the Holy Ghost says, no, don't go there, and he doesn't go. Then he tries to go somewhere else, and the Holy Ghost says, no, don't go there. And so he says, okay, I won't go. And then in the night, he has a vision, and in the vision, a man is saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he perceives in his spirit, hey, that's a divine call and the divine direction of God. So he packs up his little bag, he ties it to his little sail, and he says, we're on our way to Macedonia. But guess what happens, my friend? When Paul gets to Macedonia, he doesn't find any man doing anything in Macedonia, but rather he finds a group of women who are down by the riverside, and they are praying, and God has heard their request. And because these women stood by the riverside and prayed unto God, he sent to them the Apostle Paul. And the Word of God tells me that it was a small band of women that were gathered. There was not a man in sight, but there was one woman who was a rich woman who had made her way down to the place of prayer. Glory be to God. Her name was Lydia. And so the Bible tells us that Lydia was a seller of purple. And purple in those days was like high-end merchandise in our days. It's like the Versace and the Vera Wang and whoever else you can think of whose prices are astronomical in the merchandise arena. This is the type of thing that Lydia did as a merchant and seller of purple, because it was hard to get the ingredients to make the purple dye that would cause a garment to be made purple. So this woman was a woman of substance, but she's sitting down there by the riverside with the rest of her girlfriends, waiting and praying that God would send somebody to help them. Because how many of you understand that when we are transitioning from the old to the new, there's going to be a slight transition gap? Amen to that. Because some people want to hold on to yesterday and what was going on back in the day, but this is a brand new day, and this is the day of the woman. Glory be to God. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, around about 9 and 10, that the woman heard God and that she was moved by the word of the Lord that the Apostle Paul spoke. And after she got saved right down by the riverside, after she got filled with the Holy Ghost, after she was baptized, she said to Paul, listen, come into my house. Hey, kashata la ba shete. God intended for the gospel to get out in Macedonia, and he made sure that every provision was made by saving the rich woman so that she could in turn bring Paul into her house, and from there he could conduct ministry and begin to build up the church. But I'm telling you, this thing was born in the heart of the women down by the riverside. And we find that here in Macedonia, where Lydia has set Paul up, we find this is the same place that the woman, get this, possessed of devils, was following them around saying, these men are great men of God, they're so anointed. And Paul cast the devil out of her and caused a ruckus in the city, because now those who were using her a gift and anointing could no longer make money by her. And so there Paul and Silas were locked up in jail because of those women praying down by the riverside and the Spirit of God sending him to that city. And then they were locked up in jail. But then because Paul and Silas were singing in jail that night at midnight, I want you to know by my sanctified understanding that though Paul and Silas were praying, those women who were wont to go down by the riverside were likewise praying. And so what happened was what somebody once called a jailhouse rock. You think Elvis Presley came up with jailhouse rock? But that was God's design. And Paul and Silas began to sing, and the jailhouse began to rock, and everyone's bands were loose. Glory be to God. And the jailer got up to kill himself, because when your prisoners escape, that was his only recourse, was to kill himself. But Paul said, hold your sword. Don't use your dagger yet, because we're not going anywhere. Everybody who got loosed is loosed of their chains, but they're captivated by the Holy Ghost. And now the jailer is saved. Glory be to God. I want you to know the next day that these disciples, Paul and Silas, met with those who wanted to cause them to be released from jail in secret. He said, no, you threw us in jail publicly. Now you're going to release us publicly and tell the people why. And after that, glory be to God, went back to Lydia's house. And then after they went to Lydia's house, they comforted the brethren. That means men and women, the company of the church. They comforted them, and they left the town of Macedonia. But that city was now set on its ear for revival. Glory be to God. And that's what's going to be happening here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Glory be to God, on February 26 and 27. Once again, I want to share with you how we know is the day of the woman. The day of the woman began when Jesus decided to come in the earth, because here, first of all, his mother was a woman named Mary, and she carried the word until it became flesh and dwelt among men. Secondly, Jesus stopped by the well of Samaria and spoke to a woman who ran into the city and began to evangelize men, turning them and showing them where Jesus was. And then thirdly, he went to the woman at the well. Glory be to God. That's what I'm talking about. He went to the woman at the well, and she went into her city and evangelized. Thirdly, number three is he came up out of the grave, and there was a woman at the tomb whose name was also Mary. It's something about that name, Mary. If your name is Mary today, you ain't good. But here she is at the graveyard, and she's crying and she's weeping, and everybody else is sad. They're locked up somewhere in the room, but Mary is down by the tomb. She wants to know what's happened to her Jesus, and he appears unto her and gives her an instruction to go into the city and to prophesy to Peter and to the rest of the disciples that he is risen. Glory be to God. And I'm telling you today, you have a word in your mouth that's put in your mouth by God himself. And just like these people, Mary said, yes, Lord, the one who carried him in her flesh. Lord, she struggled. She had to go through some things for her. Yes, Lord. But she said, yes, Lord, anyway. And it brought her into greatness. And so today I'm saying unto you, just like these women said, yes, Lord, I want you to open up your spirit today, child of God, daughter of the king, daughter of Eve, seed of the woman. And I want you to say, yes, Lord, and meet us at Fayetteville, North Carolina, because we're about to turn this city on its ear. God bless you. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin. I am your Marketplace Apostle, and we are here taking the city by storm in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I'll see you on the last weekend in February. Once again, this is the Day of the Woman.